Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Fanboy Cafe MonsterCast podcast. Guys, we got a brand new studio, but that's good news. We still can't use the new studio. That kind of stinks. But guys, next week we'll have, hopefully, all of the bugs worked out of the new studio, but brand new everything pretty much. Good mics, brand new cords, brand new everything. But one little piece ended up missing, and of course that piece we needed to get online, unfortunately. So, new studio next week. Looking forward to that, guys?
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
Now, it is nice to have the new headphones and things like that as well. So,
yes,
but tonight,
definitely.
Tonight is kind of one of the shows that we're going to end up doing a lot, to be honest. It's one of those mainstream, I guess, shows that we deal with here on MonsterCast. In other words, the last 2 weeks we've been talking about some of the fringe stuff, things like the Dogmen, things like the Dark Eyed Chill, things like that. When it comes to kind of some of the main ones we're going to cover. Obviously, we're going to cover Bigfoot, which we've talked about a little bit. But UFOs is another big one. And tonight, we're talking UFOs on the MonsterCast. Good?
Excellent. I can't wait.
It's going to be awesome. I want to let you know, if you're tuning in right now and you want to call in, you have a question, you want to comment, anything like that, give us a call. The number is 657-383-0551. Again, that's 657-383-0551. UFOs. What are you guys thinking?
I'm thinking there's a lot to talk about. Where do we start?
Well, that's the thing about tonight's show. And tonight's show is actually going to be kind of a big overview of the subject. And so much of what we're going to talk about can be broken down into subcategories.
We could do a thousand shows.
Exactly. That's my point. Tonight we're going to kind of do that. But like I said, we do want to make sure that fans, if you want to call in, like I said, if you have questions, if you have comments, we haven't gotten all that yet, and that's one of the things that makes the show work, is literally we're listening to around the globe right now. This show, Blog Talk Radio, is listened to by people all over the world. So one of the nice things is we can get opinions from not just those around us, but really people, again, all over the world. One of you were talking to somebody from Germany, I believe, on Twitter.
Hamburg,
Germany. Okay. Hamburg, if you're listening, give us a call. That number is 657-383-0551. Be sure to go also to Facebook, throw this out there as well. Go to Facebook and you can find the MonsterCast just in the search box. If you type in MonsterCast, you can find the podcast there. Or our sponsor is the Fanboys Cafe. We've got a group page and a just a regular page on this page of the cafe, but you can find information there and you can definitely find out information, and you can ask questions. If you're a little shy about going on the air, you can ask questions and things like that. So getting into tonight's topic, Rich Chipple should be listening right now, just throwing that name out there. As we get into this topic, the thing is, the modern era of UFOs kind of started a little bit before when a pilot was flying over the mountains in, I believe it was the mountains in I think it was Washington State, and he looked out the window and he saw moving in formation, what appeared to be disc-shaped objects, a little bit, honestly, this goes out to John, almost battery-shaped objects, actually, but like discs skipping over water, like saucers skipping over water, is what he said it looked like, and that kind of began the modern craze of UFOs. But if you study, if you look into the subject, it actually goes back much, much, much further. Again, it's all speculative, but there definitely is. Whether we're talking art that's been left behind,
the
stories,
of recorded history.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So there's definitely, like we said, a lot that could be covered.
and we've got the case you just talked about. But the big one everyone knows, the one that really, really sparked everybody's imaginations, Roswell.
Roswell, that's kind of where things kicked off. Yeah.
Yep.
Definitely Roswell is one of the biggest cases that's out there, and it's still talked about today. Biggest. And again, what we had happen was supposedly something coming down near on a farm, Jabell's farm, outside of Roswell, New Mexico. What cracks up about the Roswell story is it's first reported that the United States government has essentially captured a UFO, a crashed UFO. And then the next day, it's kind of all taken back. Hey, it was just a weather balloon. There's so much, again, this is one that we could talk about an entire show or a week's worth of show easily when it comes to this. But there's some things in the Roswell case that always made me pause. First off, Roswell was the only base that had nuclear weapons on it. So you have the commander of the base telling people, we've got a UFO. Oh, wait a minute. It's only a weather balloon. Kind of thing. If that's the truth, that's probably just as scary as the fact that, you know, whatever, you know, the UFOs are. But the fact that the leader of this base, that the only one that had nuclear weapons, mistook a weather balloon for a crashed flying saucer. I mean, that by itself is enough to make everybody go like, wait a minute, you know, something ain't here. But the thing is, if you look into the case, there's so many things that happened with that case. There are people that have basically at the end of their life come out and said it was a cover-up. It was a UFO. There were dead alien bodies, that kind of thing. On their deathbed kind of thing. And why they didn't say anything earlier was plain and simple because they were threatened. They, their families were threatened with death. And that's a lot. I mean, again, I'm a parent. You're a parent. It's a big thing that for someone to threaten. Exactly.
There's people that are alive now. Bob Lazar worked at Area 51.
Oh, we'll be talking about Bob tonight.
Yeah, Bob Lazar working at Area 51. I used to have the model. He came out, there was a model kit, I forget what company made it, they made all the little car models and stuff, of the UFO that he had supposedly worked on at Area 51, reverse engineering, which was supposed to be the crash saucer from Roswell in 1947.
Now, how big of fans are we of this subject here at the Fanboys Cafe? When you first come through the door, one of the first things you see actually is a replica sign of the warning sign from Area 51.
I used to have a warning sign from Area 51.
I know, and we want it so bad. Find that sign. So anyway, but going back, there were things at Roswell that happened, like, again, whether you believe this or believe that, there are things that happened that, to me, leave a lot to be answered that aren't answered. For instance, there was a picture I believe it was Jim Brazel took with his son, and the son reports that dad came home that night and he had this strange metal with him, and it was so strange that they took pictures with him. It wasn't tinfoil. So again, with this metal, and the son describes the metal, there was two kinds that he had. One that they clearly it was like a tinfoil, but if you crumble it all up, the it would unfold itself, not with creases or anything, but it would totally undo itself. But another one was this big chunk of metal, and this is the picture that I'm talking about. It was a big chunk of metal of Jim and his son. And we know exactly what I'm talking about. But they said it was as light as tinfoil, but they could bang on it with a big sledgehammer, and they could do no damage to it whatsoever. Again, why take that picture if what they're saying is true? So again, it leaves a lot to be.
And it was a weather balloon. Why did people have these things at their house to take a picture of? Where did this bar of metal with this strange hieroglyphics come from if it was just a weather balloon? The guy didn't just have that laying around. He didn't make that for a picture overnight.
Right.
You
know? But the son thought, we're going to be famous. This is the real deal. And then it changed. The behavior changed. Everything changed almost instantly. Another thing that happened there, plain and simple, is the base went on major, major lockdown. And there's lots of stories of people, nurses and people that were on the base. But the one that intrigued me the most was, again, all this denial kind of thing. Yet, the local mortician said he was called out and actually showed the receipt. One of the documentaries I saw had the receipt for 6 child-size coffins that they ordered at that exact same time, or it might have been 3, excuse me, but they ordered, literally had ordered the child-sized coffins, the base did, and while the government denied it, the military denied that 100%, he had the receipt. So again, Roswell, I mean, again, like I said, this is something we could go just so deep into. Yes,
and there's another case, not Roswell, I forget what country this one happened in. But there was actually a pastor that came forward and said that at a crash site, for some reason he was called in. He came in. He saw that they weren't people. He didn't know what they were dying, you know, at this UFO crash site. And he actually talked about giving last rites to aliens. And, you know, it kind of changed his perception of things. A little bit, you know, being what he was, because he saw it. It was there. I got to give him credit. He still walked over and gave them last rites, which is kind of cool, you know.
Yeah, and I agree completely.
Yeah.
But again, so many cases like this that are out there that, and again, this is my thing with Mondcast. I've always said, I've got the Fox Mulder heart. I want to believe that's
right.
Me. But I'm also the guy that looks for, when we talked with Darkest, I'm the guy that looks for the evidence that goes with it as well. And I don't mean evidence necessarily has to be the physical piece of metal or an alien body or that kind of thing. But there are things, evidences that you can see that people are saying. And again, we've discussed this one before, not to, you know, beat the dead dog, so to speak, but like the gargoyle at NASA. Mm-hmm. More than one person, NASA people working at NASA were seeing something. That tells me they were seeing something. Now, it doesn't mean it was a gargoyle. Again, I've said this before, but it doesn't mean that that's what it was. My question becomes then, what was it they were seeing? Because, again, more and more people were seeing something that resembled a gargoyle on the building at night outside of NASA. So, again, when it comes to UFO cases, it's the same thing. What I don't know what's being seen in the skies, what people are experiencing, because we talk about abductions, or those kinds of things. And there's other things that are really interesting that's kind of only come at least popular, I guess is a better way to say it, in the last, you know, I'd say probably 10 years, at least I'd never heard the stories prior to that, but USOs, submerged objects, unidentified submerged objects, and again, coming from all over the world, famous cases where towns had seen stuff, military involvement and things like that, and there's a lot of stuff with Michigan, Lake Michigan and things like that that have been seen up there, also up in Ohio, outside the Cleveland area, things that are, you know, in the water. But my favorite case like that was there was literally a cruise ship that said they watched a craft come up out of the water, hover next to the cruise ship. They're all on board going, what's that? But similarly, they're looking from the craft. There are people inside the craft and humanoid, I will use the word, because they didn't look human, but inside there looking at the cruise ship with the same wonderment kind of thing, but they're just looking at each other like, what's going on kind of thing. But a lot of cases of USOs that have come forward lately as well.
Now, I read something, well, watched something interesting yesterday for the first time. It was about the Philadelphia experiment and two brothers that fell off the side when the experiment was going on and reportedly time traveled to 2 different years. One of them time traveled, or they both time traveled to 21 something. They say, I mean, this is all a story, of
right.
course, but it's interesting because I saw the pictures and stuff they drew in the 40s when they got back. But so reportedly they went to 2170 something. The brother stayed there, but the other one like skipped again, and he ended up in the 2736 or something like that. Now, he talked about technology, the anti-gravity, what everything looked like. He drew what people looked like, and he drew the people with big eyes, slits for nostrils. He basically drew Graves in the 40s after saying he had time traveled to the future. So if that story is true, are we the Graves?
Well, again, these are questions that are out there. And again, in tonight's show isn't necessarily the fact-finding mission, because it's kind of a UFO 101,
right,
where we're going to introduce the subject here on the show, and we will get some experts and look into USOs, look into abductions, look into all these different areas that are out there when it comes to this subject. Excuse me, but fascinating subject. I've always been fascinated with it. Because you mentioned the Grays, I'm going to go to that for a second. Again, there are lots of theories. There are lots of opinions on different species that are visiting the Earth and things like that, if that's something you believe. But going back to the Grays one, the Gray one kind of captured my imagination as a kid, because what was neat was, for a long time, there was no definitive description, I guess, when it came to aliens. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to say, let me say this better this way. If I was making something up, if Brendan, if B was going to make something up, if Rick was going to make something up, if we were all going to tell a story about making up stories about seeing a UFO and aliens come out of it, now your imagination, my imagination, Rick's imagination, all of our imagination is going to go somewhere else, because we're not the same people.
Right.
But when it came to the Grays, what was neat about it was they started looking back at abduction reports from around the globe, and they started to notice not only the same descriptions, but the same drawings. And these are people that would be locked up in asylums and things like that for being crazy, but they were drawing literally the same pictures over and over for 100 years, recorded history again, kind of thing. The same exact kind of pictures were out there, and made me first go like, whoa, wait a minute.
That was my big thing with the Grays. I mean, I've heard reptilians and all the other ones, but the Grays are, that's what everyone's, my sister, she's listening, will kill me, but I'm not going to mention her name. I honestly believe she's an abductee. All life she's had bad stuff happen. She's scared to death to even see an alien. Like a picture, sometimes I'll just text her a picture of a Gray and she'll flip out. She'll cry. It's bad. But hearing that description from my sister and I've seen physical proof on her body. So I believe the description of the Grays probably is the description of what's visiting us, if something is visiting us, but it might not be alien.
Well, exactly. And that's yet another thing we can get into on tonight's show. But I'm going to stress this because, we're looking for callers, guys. So I'm gonna kind of troll a little bit here, looking for those callers tonight. So again, if you're listening to the podcast tonight, whether you're one of the Fanboys regulars or somebody calling in from around the globe, no matter where you're listening from, whether you're from one of the Facebook groups we contacted, that kind of thing, but we would love to hear from you. The number again is 657-383-0551. You can share your opinion. You can ask a question. You can share a story. If you're part of a UFO group, you can share information about your group. Free promotion on the group kind of thing. So definitely do that. Now, one of the other things you just said that kind of went by really quick was seeing evidence.
I have seen evidence.
And that's something, again, myself.
Laughed at her every time she told me a story. And then one day she told me a story, and she said they had stuck 3 needles into her spine, like a triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And she described it to me exactly, and she told me where on her spine, which was kind of a little bit lower back area, but directly centered. And I was like, turn around, lift up your shirt. She turned around and lifted up her shirt, and there was a perfect triangle of needle marks going directly into her spine. And I never, there's no way she could have done that. It was perfect. And I never questioned her again. I went from being a complete non-believer in abduction to going, oh, my own sister had to deal with it.
Yeah. Well, but again, here's where it gets interesting again, is you saw this with your sister, but once again, and this is what I mean by, I guess it would be circumstantial evidence, but mm-hmm. evidence that I'm talking about is that exact same thing has been reported by countless, I mean, I don't want to say countless, but numerous individuals that have said the exact same thing.
And she never looked the stuff up.
That have the same scars,
yeah,
and things like that. But even in a lot of cases, different injection sites and things like that, but medically going in and finding things and finding
organic machines, basically. Yeah.
I mean, things that are, I mean, it gets weird. It really does.
It's super weird.
Metals that are found on Earth, but in purest forms that you really can't find.
And we don't know how to make.
Exactly. In all of those different areas. That's the point. There's so many things in this subject that, to me, like the NASA case, it's so worth at least looking into. Now, here's a question I'm just going to throw out to take a different direction. Why do you think it is that the media, the government, have gone so far out of their way to make the subject matter become ridiculed?
My honest opinion, religion. If religions around the world, we're not just talking Christianity, if religions around the world knew that beings from other planets not only existed, but they visit here regularly, it would destroy their entire perception of their religion. And honestly, I think it would be chaos for a lot of people. There's a lot of smarter people now. There's been more of an awakening. But like in the 40s during Roswell, in that time period, if they would have heard that, religion ruled the day. You know, there would have been mass chaos. There would have been, people would have been questioning their faith. There would have been, I think that's why. I think there was a noble reason behind it when it started. But I think now the world has evolved to the point where even the Pope has said, it's okay that something exists on another planet somewhere. God created the universe.
Right. But see, that's my argument against it. Not that I'm disagreeing with you,
right,
but we discovered America, so to speak.
Right.
We have discovered other lands, and we didn't go, oh my gosh, there's Indians there. That means God can't exist.
Right.
It didn't happen.
Right.
So a lot of people will throw that out there. I'm not saying there's not merit to it. And honestly, if there was a big upheaval in people's religious beliefs, that certainly could have a very negative effect on society as well. So again, I'm not disagreeing with you, but
I'm saying
kind of
it would have happened. I'm saying I think that was the reasoning behind it.
Yeah. But here's what, like, getting deeper into that question as well, is there are a lot of credible people. And again, I've used the example of Bubba in the Trailer Park. Not that there's anything wrong with Bubba in the Trailer Park, but
I like Bubba.
Bubba's a good guy, I'm sure. But my point is, I mean, again, they there's this ridicule that makes it look like it's somebody who's highly unintelligent, that isn't educated, that, you know, socially awkward, that kind of thing. But that's not the case. We were talking about Bob Lazar, for instance. There's a lot of credible people that and we got to do a show on Bob, because it's a fascinating by itself.
It really is.
Very fascinating.
I've read a lot, watched a lot about Bob.
But Bob, using him as an example, Bob, and just touching the Bob Lazar, tip of the iceberg, so to speak. But in Bob's case, he comes forward with this information, and suddenly all of his information disappears.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who remember him. Of course, he was in my college class, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
But suddenly all his college records are gone. And there are other, you know, scientists who go, this guy obviously is well-versed and knows what he's talking about. He's obviously educated in the field, yet all of his credentials disappeared, kind of thing. Again, Bob's such a great case. But not just Bob. There are other people who are presidents that have talked about seeing things and those kinds of things. So going to plug again. So maybe you're out there listening and you've seen something. We want to hear from you. We're talking from something that could have been to an actual sighting kind of thing, because, again, there's lots of cases of that as well. So if you've got a story, you want to share something that happened to you, something you may have seen, give us a call, 657-383-0551. Looks like we have a caller.
Sort of.
No, one of the things we do here at the Fanboys Cafe MonsterCast is we actually broadcast live from the Fanboys Cafe, and audience members are encouraged to come out. You don't have to spend a ton of money, but to come out and take part in the shows. That's what makes the show great, is we want people to do that. So joining us now from the audience here at the Fanboys Cafe, a little too happy there, is Zach. Zach, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Remember, that mic's not working, so you might want to speak up a little.
Oh, yeah, that helps. The one that I would definitely say is UFO that I've seen, I was, not that people will know, because they don't know necessarily where we are, but there's a town called Montour Falls, New York.
Yes.
And just off of Route 14, there's a where Captain Greek is.
Yep.
He can go down and do my daughter and stuff, so a couple years ago, like 5 or 6, my mom, friend of mine, and I were out walking around, and all of a sudden we saw something weird in the sky. There was no clouds, perfectly blue sky day. Looked up, and at first we thought it was a plane, but because we thought it was like making a turn, so it'd be hard to see the wings and everything, but it was definitely this silver, and it looked, we couldn't see wings on it at first, but it looked like a big, like, oval sphere. It wasn't, like, circular, but it was, like, more... But I wouldn't say it was,
would
like, a
disc. Would you say cigar-shaped?
Because I would say cigar-shaped.
Cigar-shaped
rounded,
is one of the...
Rounded.
Of the
rounded on
the
either
story
end.
I was
like oblong.
Yeah. Including the story I was talking about, the one that came up out of the water next to the cruise ship. That's exactly
but
how
it was
described.
It was up, and it wasn't as high up as a plane would be. It was much, much lower. I mean, I'd say... it's hard for me to judge because I was on the ground, but it was definitely, it was low, and planes wouldn't fly low through there because the descent for the airport would be many miles from where we were. And so anyway, so we see it, it's chrome colored, definitely reflective. It was reflecting the sun a lot. And we were looking at it, and once it stopped turning, we realized that there were no wings on it. It was just a, like you said, cigar-shaped oblong thing. And then it stopped for about a moment, maybe 1.5 seconds, and then it just took off, and way faster than anything would be possible. And
another common description, to be honest.
Yeah,
just
but it didn't take off up. It took off straight and disappeared, and then we all freaked out, ran into the car, and immediately went home.
Gotta go.
But yeah, I just want to share that quick.
No, I like it.
About,
I mean,
go ahead.
I've got one almost identical to that. I was, I've been camping for the weekend in over the other side of Wellsboro.
And we do have a caller.
Hey, well, I will hold on the caller.
caller, you're on. Welcome to the MonsterCast podcast. Caller.
Can you hear us?
Caller is gone. We lost the caller. Feel free to call back in. That's fine.
Sorry about that.
Not a problem. All right, Rick, or yeah, go on with your story.
So I was heading back from Wellsboro to Mansfield, and we get over to where Butter's old dealership lot was. We're driving down the road. I'm not driving. I'm looking out my window and hovering over the old trailer dealership.
Live from the Bad Boy Cafe.
There was something hovering over the old dealership. That's the trailer dealership there on Route 6. And as I'm staring at it, I'm watching. It was silver. Disc shape, like traditional disc UFO. And I watch it and it shoots up into the air, like probably 3 miles, 4 miles up into the air. We have another caller?
Yeah, how do I?
Hit the microphone.
Nope, microphone.
Hello, caller. You're on the air with MonsterCast.
Hey, I have a story. I was wondering if you guys have heard anyone else say something similar to this. I live over by the Great Lakes, right? And one night we had seen, this is nighttime, probably around like 9, it's pretty dark, the moon can be seen, but there's like a light in the sky, like a plane, but just one light of one big round circle. And it just stayed there and slowly moved down.
Yeah.
We were thinking it's a helicopter or something like that, but it didn't. I mean, it took the about an hour for it to go completely down and disappear. It definitely wasn't the sun. It was. Have you ever heard of a story like that over by the Great Lakes?
Actually, that's an interesting story. I've never heard anything like that over the Great Lakes, but I know over the Finger Lakes.
Yep.
I've heard, I've heard a couple of stories. Okay. Anyway. Yeah, but I've heard a couple weird stories up there. I actually have a relative that was Air Force that said there was a base up by those lakes, and they've seen some similar things, lights in the sky that lingered a little too long, things like that. There's been other reports like that, and what they are, we still just don't know. It could literally be anything. It could be a Chinese lantern. We've seen that. We've seen that confirmed from reports. But it could be, it could be a UFO. It could be a craft of some sort.
I mean, technically it's a UFO because
we don't know what it is. But that is a very interesting story. And I think that's something we'll have to look into a little more. Because like I said, I've heard of it, but I've never really studied it. And hearing somebody's personal account kind of makes me want to, you know, hit the books a little more and kind of look into it. So I will tell you that we might not be able to give you much info now, but on our next UFO show, we will definitely be looking into that.
Oh, you said Chinese lantern. Well, what is that? Is that a form of a craft or something?
Yeah, it's a paper lantern, actually. It's made out of paper. It's got a... What's the inside made out of? Like a real light balsa wood. And you light a candle, and it's basically a small hot air balloon. And they will release them at parties and stuff. And once in a while, you'll see them in the sky.
And then they burn out.
And they slowly burn out, and they fall down. As the candle gets smaller, they slowly go to the ground. Now, the only way to know for sure, of course, if it's a Chinese lantern, is to find where it fell. But if it didn't, and it's hard to tell if it's a Chinese lantern, because sometimes they fall fast. Sometimes the wind hits them and they go fast. But they generally flicker. Did your light flicker?
I can't remember. It's been a while, but maybe it did. No, you know what? It looks more like a car light up in the sky. One car light.
Okay.
At night, you know.
That's more of a classic UFO thing. Yeah, that doesn't sound like a Chinese lantern at all. And they're usually a reddish color, reddish orange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was definitely this was orange. It wasn't a white light. It was an orange light. And what made it odd was how slow it went down. It took, like I said, an hour for it to eventually disappear from like a height. It went down and just disappeared. But
So it couldn't have been anything. Okay, yeah. I was going to say, it couldn't have been anything natural. It had to have been either man-made or otherworldly made. But yeah, anything natural is not going to fall that slow. So we can at least rule out meteorites and stuff like that. You definitely saw something unexplainable.
Yeah. Speaking about meteorites, do you guys notice that there are more meteorites falling these days? Like, I'm starting to see them often, every summer, you know, throughout the year, every other month I see them now. Maybe every 3 months I see a group of them fall. It used to be like we used to wish on them because, you know, it'll be years until we see one. But now it's like every 3-4 months I see a group of them. Do you guys notice that?
You know, I actually do see more too, and I just attribute that to the fact that I look up more often now. I didn't used to ever look up at the sky, but now I stare at the sky at night. And I think there's more than we thought, but I think it takes a while for people to just start looking up, you know?
Okay. That's probably what it is then. All right. Well, thanks for taking my call. I'll see you.
All right, man. Thank you so much. Have a good night.
And back at the Fanboy Cafe for myself. That's the one thing about doing the podcast live, is there are times where I've got to deal with business of the cafe. So, guys, thanks for jumping in there.
No problem.
And thank you, caller, for calling in. That's what we're looking for here on the cafe, people to share their stories, no matter what we're talking about, their opinions and that kind of thing. So, again, we'd love to hear from you, 657-383-0551. Again, give us a call, 657-383-0551. Guys, what's up? Sorry, I missed a lot of that.
Well, Rick was getting ready to tell his
story. So it shoots up into the air a few miles, a pick right of Woodland. And I watch it fly straight over towards the Elkland area. And then it stopped and headed back towards Wellsboro, stopped, headed back towards Mansfield, and then shot straight up in the sky and disappeared.
That's actually really interesting. When we were kids, my cousin Bobby and I, we were out at his house. It's up, it's around Wellsboro. And we saw a light, and it, like, kind of darted towards Wellsboro, and then towards, like, where we're at, which is, like, 6 miles away,
yeah.
Back towards Wellsboro, back where we were at, and then, like, out towards Mansfield.
Yeah.
So we might have seen the same thing.
Yeah, but this was 2005?
No. I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
That's kind of neat.
Now, I have my own sighting, which, again, I always prefer the sightings where you saw a craft kind of thing. Wish I could say that, but not really what I saw. But I was driving. How I was able to save up to get the cafe open was I drove a truck for a little while. And so we're talking really within the last year. But I was I had delivered to Buffalo, and I had ran out of hours, so I had to spend the night up in the Buffalo area. Wow. But then I wanted to get back as soon as I could. So the first thing, as soon as my hours reset, off I came back towards the Elmira area. And as I'm driving the truck, I'm somewhere between Rochester and the Bath, New York area. And there's kind of a way you go where it's back in the hills. And it's just at that time where daybreak is about to happen. It's not quite there yet, but it almost is. And I'm looking up in the sky, and I see maybe smaller than, like, just a little bit smaller than, like, what would be the eraser on a pencil.
Okay.
A circular object, maybe a little bit smaller, but the whole thing was illuminated. In other words, if you were to take a Frisbee, put a light inside it, and have the whole thing glow, that's what this looked like. Now, honestly, it was so high up that the sun, like I said, is just starting to break from the hills, and really could have been in a higher position, the sun reflecting off a plane, a balloon, you know, kind of thing. But what amazed me about the story was it didn't, if it was, say, a balloon, balloons wobble, so to speak, in the air. This had a pretty steady trajectory at a pretty regular pace going, and I'm just watching it, having to remember I'm driving this 50,000-pound truck kind of thing. But I'm watching. I'm like, what is it? And I'm looking and trying to keep my eyes on the road, and it goes into a cloud, and I never saw it come out. Never saw it come out, no matter where I looked, kind of thing. So, again, I can't definitively say I saw a craft or even I saw a UFO because it was so high up that I couldn't really make out what it was. But I have seen videos, this is my point, of objects that people have recorded that looked exactly like that. The total illumination, not like a plane that has lights blinking on the sides kind of thing, but a total, total illumination.
Remember, we are recording live here, so if you hear any extra sounds, we're going to apologize about that. I have a story of my own. Speaking of seeing a craft, the first ever UFO I saw, and I've seen like four or five, but I do, I look at the air all the time. I was a child, I forget how old, six or seven, you know, maybe eight. It was in that age range, six to eight. I was with my mom and dad. We were driving home. We lived way out in the country. There's the main road, then you turn off onto a dirt road, then you drive past like a trailer park a few miles. And then there's our house.
Was Bubba there?
Actually, Bubba was there. I don't remember Bubba at six. But anyway, we were driving and we saw this light in the sky. And we were kind of following it from where we were coming from to home. And we kept following it. We turned down the dirt road and we're right by the trailer park. And all of a sudden the light is right above the trailer park. And we're talking 100 feet above us, maybe. So we stopped the car and we got out and we stood underneath this craft floating in the air about 100 feet from us, illuminated from the lights on the sides. It was one of the triangular ones.
Okay.
And you could actually see, I mean, I don't know what they were, pipe work or whatever, but you could see indentations in the metal. You could see the workings of the underside of this machine. So we watched it for a long time. I don't know how long. I don't know what happened. My little sister was just a baby at the time, so maybe that's when things started.
Was there missing time involved?
See, and that's the thing. We don't know. But the next part, this is the fun part. That's not even the good part. We go home. We finally get back in the car and we go home. We don't know how long we were there. We never looked at the clock. You know, this was 1990 or something. I didn't have a cell phone. You know what I mean? Speaking of cell phones. Anyway.
Not one anymore here.
We drove the next mile. We got home. My father and I went in the kitchen and we watched out the kitchen window, still watching this light because it was just kind of hanging out. And you hear the sound of jets. You hear jet engines and you look and all of a sudden two fighter jets, I would venture to say they were probably F-14s because of the time period. They were the most commonly used in the area. But you see two fighter jets out of nowhere come out behind this thing. This thing zips over to where a pipeline is on the mountain, you know, where it's clear cut and they've got the power lines or whatever, or pipes laid. So you got your nice clear spot on the top of the hill. These jets are coming and it just dropped straight down onto the mountain. The jets went by it because, of course, they can't maneuver like that. It popped up and went straight after them. And so the last thing we saw was this unidentified object, this big triangle, following two F-14 fighter jets.
Well, that was
a crazy experience.
Well, what's great about it, again, is having studied the subject, your story isn't dissimilar with many other stories. And the stories, again, all seem to be the same. We saw similar objects. A lot of cases, military shows up and a quote-unquote chase pursues, not that the military are able to hang with, so to speak,
right.
The UFO, whatever it is, kind of thing. But these are very common stories that are very similar stories that are reported, again, all over the place. When we talked again weeks ago about the Black Eyed Children, the one thing that was amazing was the same stories, the same exact stories coming from all over the country and all over the world. That's what you get with this phenomenon as well. So again, we're not saying it's aliens from another world that are invading the, you know, we're not saying that.
It very well could have been a test, you know, of some sort of new craft.
Well,
I saw it and I still don't know.
That when it comes
to
the triangle ships, because it definitely, there's so many, again, when we talked about the cigar, we talk about the disc-shaped ships, and then another one that's very commonly is the triangle ones. And, I mean, again, the story over the lights over Phoenix and again, police officers, state policemen, lawyers chasing these things in the sky. You know, they're on the ground, obviously, but chasing these things and moving slowly, but looking up. And some reported not necessarily gigantic, but other ones, we're almost talking like from Star Wars. Gigantic-looking ones as well. But again, same people, multiple people saying from the ground, this is what I saw. Now, again, a lot of secret military aircraft were first reported as UFOs. So again, we don't want to go totally nutso here, kind of thing. But with that said, so it certainly could be something military.
And what I saw could have been them chasing an unidentified flying object, or it could have been a test of a ship because they were chasing it, testing its maneuverability, testing, you know, it very well could have just been a government test. And I don't go crazy and say it's aliens, but my sister had experiences. And they started, you know, a couple of years after that. And that was, we all saw it. Like, if my mom was listening, I wish she'd call in and tell the story, but.
Well, again, you know, what's funny about the story that Zach told is I have two friends of mine, good Christian family, not people that are, you know, that I know that are good, honest people, but tell a story, and they actually live by the Chemung County Airport, but they tell a story when Don was little. Don's a full man now, so we're talking
Long time ago.
Probably the 20s. No, I'm just kidding. My friend Don is listening. But anyways, they tell a story about watching a craft, cigar-shaped, approaching the airport and thinking it's it's going in for a landing, but then not doing what planes do, meaning landing, hovering, sitting there for a while, watching it going, what is that? And then it's floating away again kind of thing. These are people that I know that aren't, again, apt to make up stories.
We got to get at least two more theories out there because we've got about 15 minutes left. And there's two more big theories about aliens. We've got the ancient aliens, and then we've got the hollow earth.
Well, there's dimensions, there's demons.
There's a lot
of theories that are out there. And we certainly can jump in there. But again, I'm going to troll here for a minute because I want to get the – I want this to be an audience participation. It's good to have them here. It's good to have
what
them.
What do they
want to
know
in.
About?
Well, exactly. So if you've got a story, if you've got questions, give us a call, 657-383-0551. Or feel free to post it on the MonsterCast page, on the Fanboys page, either of those. If you've got a question, a little shy about going on the –
on the radio.
You can certainly post those questions there and we'll get to it. But if you want to call in one more time, 657-383-0551. All right. So we're thinking there's something out there, something that's being reported. Not one thing, because we've got different crafts. They're, in our opinion, I think we're all in agreement that there's at least some kind of cover up. Which doesn't necessarily mean, again, an alien conspiracy, because, again, the military, certainly the government could be hiding military secrets and those kinds of things. But putting that aside, let's talk about what you were just saying. It's kind of a good way to end the show. I mean, though we still have 15 minutes, 14, but let's get into that for a minute, unless somebody calls in with a question that's different. But there are reports that are out there of where they're from, and there's also reports of, like, different craft. There's also reports of different looking aliens that are out there as well.
And the reason I wanted to talk about Hollow Earth, there's a reason for that. Just in the last few weeks, first off, we've discovered an ocean inside the Earth. So, all right, so the theory gains a little more weight there. But also, and I don't know if these people are crazy or if they're for real, but there are people all around the world that claim to have psychic contact with certain beings that they think that they've been told are aliens from other planets. In the last few weeks, these same people have started coming out, all of them, have started coming out and saying, my alien's telling me it's not an alien. It's telling me it's from inside our own Earth. But this is happening worldwide to the people that we're all in contact, like, are they all in contact with each other? Is it a big hoax? Or were these people really psychically in contact with something saying it's an alien, and now for some reason it's coming out and saying, yeah, we're here, like right after we discover this ocean in inside the Earth? You know, is it time? Are they going to reveal themselves? Is it real? I think that's a really interesting theory, especially because of I'm using quotes, but the psychics that are reporting these things worldwide just in the last few weeks.
Right. And again, technically could be its own show easily.
Yeah.
Just talking about the Hollow Earth theory, which is definitely one that they're not extraterrestrial.
I love
Hollow
Earth.
Coming from the Hollow Earth. And honestly, some of those also go along the lines with some of the submerged coming up from the ocean depths, whether it's Hollow Earth or depths under the water kind
of
thing.
Right, right.
But that's definitely one theory that's out there. Obviously, the most prevalent one, I think, again, we'd all be in agreement, would be the extraterrestrial.
Right.
Even some of the cases like the
that's the most believable one.
The most famous one was Betty and Barney there that told the story about the Hills telling the story about the lost time being abducted.
Yes.
And showing the star map, where what planet they're from and that kind of thing. Interdimensional is another one that's been brought up, that they traveled not between, two more different worlds, but
through dimensions
versus, you know, through outer space.
Which means they could even be from a parallel Earth. You know, we really don't know.
Well, and it's all theory, and that's the thing. It's all theory.
And when you start talking about quantum theory, like interdimensionals, multiple universes, that's another 1,000 shows in and of itself. You know, so it's really hard to break it down.
Jumping on tech, there's at least two more that I can think of. If you guys think of more, let me know. But there's definitely two more that I can think of. One would be time.
Well, that's what I said. The future,
exactly.
What I was talking about
exactly,
earlier. Yep.
But it's humanity coming from the distant future or distant past, even.
I actually do believe.
Or not so distant future.
I believe they're coming from the future, and I believe we've screwed up very badly in the next 700 years. You know, let's say that guy was right, and it was the year 2700. So in the next 700 years, we've screwed up so bad, our Earth is in such trouble, that they're coming back to try to fix things slowly out of the way, you know. And there's been reports of UFOs, like over nuclear missile silos and stuff like that. And it makes you wonder if, like, why are they trying to stop that from happening? Why do they care? Well, because it's us,
right.
You know, it's, I don't even say evolved. We probably genetically changed ourselves.
Mutated.
Yeah. You know,
come on, we're comic book fans.
We're working on that technology now to, you know, you're in another 50 years, you'll be able to pick what traits your children have, you know, that's how far. Yeah.
There's actually,
that's how far genetic engineering is coming, you know,
but there actually, this is something I'd like to explore on the show sometime soon, but there was actually I had heard this before, about honestly being able to turn off the quote unquote time gene in us, or the aging gene.
That's,
there's a company
yes.
right now that's claiming they've discovered
how to do it.
No more aging. It could be in our futures.
Not quite no more aging. I read a little more about it. And they said like, let's say you take a 60-year-old woman. She goes through this process. Her body now is 30 again. She's still 60 years old, but her body's 30. But she's going to start aging again.
I would so sign up for
it. But it's still a reversal. It's like taking 30 years off your life from what they're claiming. So it really is an immortality drug. They said that they believe the first person to live to 1,000 years old is alive right now. That's how close they are. And that's pretty crazy.
Well, biblically, there's many people in
there. Yes.
But no.
Yeah.
But then the last one, speaking of biblically, because again, we want to put all things out there, but there is yet one more theory, and that this whole thing is demonic. It's a deception from the devil to get people away from God. I mean, again, I'm just throwing it out there because it's definitely one that is talked about, that this whole thing is demonic. Now, counterpointing some of the things you mentioned, there is different, like there's different crafts, there are different beings that are reported as well. Just throwing out the most popular ones I've heard, obviously the Greys are probably the big one that everybody hears about. Excuse me. But there's also another one that is very insect-like, often described as like a mantis kind of thing.
Yeah, I know the ones you're talking
there
about.
There is another one that is described as Nordic, big, blonde, super
blue eyes,
very
large.
Hulk Hogan-ish
bigger
kind of thing, but very large aliens in that direction. And boy, why do I think? Oh, and the reptilians, not the insectoids, but the reptilians as well,
who are supposedly able to change shape and enter our government. And I do want to mention the Manus aliens you talked about. I've actually read several stories where they're with the Greys.
Right.
Very often they're seen together, doing different roles on the same ship.
Right.
Yeah.
So those are definitely out there. So if my point, well, I don't know. I guess it could still be, you know, if it was a future self, future people certainly could work with alien species being wherever it's from kind of thing, or different mutations. But I think the one thing that comes down to on the show tonight is there's a whole lot of stuff out there that, we really don't know. And this subject is just so huge, so wide. And we said tonight was going to be kind of a UFOs 101. We're talking first chapter of the book.
Now, I'm going to go on record
just
and say...
It's just the foreword. It's not even the first chapter.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I'm going to go on record and say, I believe in our infinite universe, there's alien life somewhere else. We're not the only ones. No matter what, even if you believe in God, why would God make the entire universe and only put life on one planet? It doesn't make sense. So I believe there's tons of life out there, but whether it's visiting us or not, I'm not sure.
But aren't we being a little close-minded when we say the opposite of what you're saying?
Right.
Because we've said in the past, logically, definitively, there's no way man can fly. We weren't
right.
meant to fly, yet we do. Well,
right.
but there's no way man can go to the moon, yet
right.
we do. Well, the distance from here to there is just
it's too much,
far.
But we're going to do it.
But yeah. There's test warp engines that are being theorized and put together right now.
Bubble. They're talking about putting a plasma bubble around a spacecraft and moving space around the craft. So since the craft itself is not moving, it could theoretically hit the speed of light
faster.
And faster.
Yeah.
Yes. And they've got a working prototype. I mean, they haven't taken it into space, but they've got a prototype that they're going
to
try. And the implications are crazy.
To me, again, it just makes sense. When you look up at the night sky, and if you live in a city, you guys live in the country area, but if you live in a city area, you look up and you see, you know, some stars, or as infamously said in the, I just left the name of the movie, the giraffe and the lion. But look, it's the star. Oh, wait, no, it's a helicopter.
Madagascar.
Hey, it's the star. Nope, helicopter. No, but if you live in the country, you look up and you can see, without all the light pollution is my point, you can see just this huge number
it's
of
beautiful.
Stars. But again, it's been proven that when you look up and see that, you're seeing just the smallest percent of what's actually out there. And what those little dots of light are those are suns, just like those are stars, just like our sun here. And around each one of them, there are planets. So again, we're talking again, God created this gigantic universe that's so huge that even what the giant number we can see is just a dot
right.
kind of thing. And again, I tend to be of the mindset of it seems like there would have to be something out there.
We're
and
literally
really arrogant to say no.
We're literally just a speck of dust in this universe, you know, and specks of dust are everywhere. Why wouldn't, you know, like they're everywhere. They've got to be. They found so many, or they've just found three Earth-like planets around one star in the Goldilocks zone.
Right.
And it was around a red dwarf star, which before they said wouldn't even have planets.
Right.
So we're discovering new things every day. And to be close-minded and think that there's nothing out there is, I think that's crazy. You know,
once again, so much that we can talk about. We even get into abductions and things like that, and there's just so many things on the subject we can talk about. But before we end today's podcast, as always, we got to do a shout out to Fanboys Cafe. Fanboys is our sponsor. Hey, if you're a geek, wouldn't it be great if there's a place you could go to hang out with other geeks? Kind of like a sports bar, but instead of alcohol, there's food and coffee and soda and snacks and things like that. Instead of sports memorabilia, wouldn't it be cool if you went in and there's like autographed pictures and posters and movie memorabilia and all those things? Even better, what if there was a 155-inch screen?
I was just going to ask that.
1,000-watt surround sound system? That
crazy.
Would be really cool. Where you could get together with other fans, not have to worry about being picked, not have to worry about being ridiculed, anything like that. But you could watch your favorite shows, favorite movies. Movies like Star Wars and things like that. The
Doctor
Avengers,
Who.
Your favorite shows like Doctor Who, getting together with other fans. Daredevil. Come on.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that place
that would
be
great?
Hey, that's Fanboys Cafe, guys.
We're here.
We're here at the Fanboys Cafe. Okay, 3162 Lake Road. And Horseheads, New York, the Fanboys Cafe. Come on out. Check us out. Come and get your geek on here at the cafe. Lots to do. Every night of the week, there's a different viewing party. Tonight, we're doing Daredevil,
yep.
8 to 10. So we're going to do two episodes every Thursday night till we get through season one and season two. We're doing lots of other ones. Wednesday nights are Doctor Who night.
And they can, people sit down, watch Doctor Who, eat a Buffy steak salad.
Lots of stuff. Good stuff on the menu. That's a good thing to mention. We've got our Buffy's steak salad here. Once you have it, you'll love it. We've got Death Star quesadillas, Dagobah swamp juice. We got the Han Solo. We got the Winchester. We got the One Ring. There's lots of stuff here you got to come and check out. But, guys, I want to thank you guys for being here today. I want to thank everybody for listening to today's episode of the Fanboys Cafe MonsterCast podcast. And how about that beginning of the show, Addie Miller doing a shout-out to the show, a radio liner for the podcast.
And I want to say thank you, Addie Miller. That's awesome.
Addie Miller. And if you don't know who Addie Miller is, Addie Miller, season one of The Walking Dead, was literally the first walker. Remember that adorable little girl?
That Rick shot
walking with the walking with the little bunny slippers and the teddy bear in her arms. And then she turns around and she's a walker. And, Rick had to shoot her. That's little Addie Miller. She's grown up now and did a liner for us. So, guys, this is the Fanboys Cafe. I'm Hogan.
I'm B.
Rick.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week.